Hey, what's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Forged 20 podcast. I'm your game master, Zach. And, well, we're just gonna get right into it. Last time you met a very interesting character, a mind flayer, who you all discovered to be a lich. You all did not have the most friendly of encounters with this individual, realizing that their goals are quite sinister, but they revealed to you some information. That there are mind flayer bases plastered all across the continent of Lodrianth, and that these mind flayer bases contain something powerful called Arcanium, a rare, powerful substance. Now, in him helping you give these locations, he has requested that you help bring him some Arcanium. However, I don't know if you guys are going to honor your side of the deal. And after meeting with him, you guys decided to head back to the town of Ravenmoor, where you got your reward from your quest from Soul Sage Harangan, and had some drinks, and discovered that you guys would like to hit the blacksmith up before you leave town to find a way for you guys to get smuggled into a city called Eden. So, as you all have left the tavern and are approaching the outskirts of this small town that is still in the process of being built, you can see that as you approach this last building on the edge of town, there's a sign hanging from the roof of this building that says the Iron Hand. And you see a symbol that looks like a shield, and behind the shield stands a sword. And ingrained into the shield is the letters I C. And you can smell this, like, very robust smell of soot, as if there's a burning forge coming from over here. You can see from the rooftop, some smoke is pouring out as if the forge is currently going at this time. You can see there's this like lanai kind of area, like it's covered, but it's still outside, and then there is this main door to get inside the building. But mostly this forge appears to be outside but covered. But you don't see anybody about right now. The forge is still on. There's a hammer on the anvil, but you don't see anybody. What do you do?
I'm gonna walk in up to the front door, and I'm gonna open up the front door and head inside.
As you open up the front door, you hear a da-ding, da-ding, da-ding. And you hear a door open from the back. And then coming through the side door over here, you see a very tall silver dragonborn, clad in some sort of blue chainmail and having this like gold plate armor as he comes up to the counter.
Oh, when you say tall, like how tall? Is he like as tall as me or?
He's about 6'8".
Okay. Tall for like human standards, gotcha.
Hello, I was in looking in need of getting an upgrade for my breastplate. I know it might appear that I'm wearing one at the moment, but at this time I am disrobed as it was destroyed in an unfortunate accident, and I'm currently using magic to keep up appearances.
I see. So, is there any kind of metal you'd prefer to me to make this with?
What are the options you have? As of right now, depending on your pricing, of course, money should not be an issue.
Well, depends. Are you looking for something light, heavy, medium? What's kind of your shtick?
I'm just looking for like a standard breastplate, something that will offer me decent protection up close, but is still not restricting to as to get rid of my movements. Here, actually, I have a bit of a special request for it as well. I do ask that you just you know, not ask any questions. And I pull out the piece of paper, and I slide it over to him.
Raises his eyebrow and grabs the sheet of paper.
There'll be an extra, let's say 5 platinum pieces in for you if you can manage that.
He reads the request, raising his brow a little bit as he makes eye contact with you. Shouldn't be a problem. This will definitely be some interesting schematics that you're looking for. I think it's probably best that we maybe give you some sort of well-fitted, like, iron. Maybe accent it with some leather, too. Let me get your measurements, and then I'll get you set up on an order. Cost. Let me think about money. Usually I charge for my standard breastplates for about 400 gold pieces. Is that something that's going to work for you, or...?
There's no issue.
Alright.
And, like I promised, for not asking any questions, here's an additional 5, here's an additional, what is it? It'd be 10, so 5 platinum pieces, and then it'd be... So 45 platinum I'm handing him in total.
He kind of chuckles a little bit as he grabs the platinum pieces. Well, gold talks. I listen. Lloyd, as you're kind of like looking around at the stuff in here, you recognize that quote. You know that he's immediately a member of the same mercenary guild. And you could recognize it by the sign outside as well. He's a member of Iron Company.
Hmm. All right.
Go ahead.
I'm going to turn and look at my... I see this mask here. How much is this mask? I pull it off the counter from over there.
Thanks for a minute. So he just strokes his chin a little bit. Maybe 10 gold pieces. Didn't cost much to make.
Well, I'm trying to save a bit of expenses. I pull out my guild token. Can you do a favor for a friend?
Looks at the token. Flicks it up in the air. Catches it. Of course. Because gold talks. And Claw's iron hand listens. As he just lets you keep the mask.
I nod my head.
Well, you two know each other?
Tangentially. Yeah,
we're working on a few things together.
Tell me. What are adventurers working on these days? As he's kind of getting he needs to get some measurements out of Chorus, so we'll see how this goes. Chorus, how are you covering yourself right now, perchance?
Completely by illusion magic. I sent you what you asked for, by the way, Raph. But yeah, completely by illusion magic. So he's going to touch me, and he's going to feel space where there should not be space, and I'm just going to stare at him.
He looks up at you. The way his eyes are communicating to you right now, he's like, just, he seems unfazed.
He understands why there was an extra 5 platinum pieces in there now.
He nods. Interesting folk you travel with.
Quite.
Well, to be honest, give me a couple of hours. I can get you, some breastplate. I can modify something I already have in stock. Another customer. Hello, welcome.
Morris nods as he walks in.
This isn't another one of our companions. Do excuse him. He's not the happiest person in general, and less so these days.
Well, he'll be 2 peas in a pod with me here.
Morris, you like peas?
It's a pea.
I thought you didn't know him. You know his name?
I just said he's another one of our companions.
Oh, well, you know what?
He's just not too happy today.
Well, all right. Let me just start working on your stuff. He blows some smoke out of his nose. heads to the back.
I'm going to try to explain to Moros what a pea is real quick. So you see, it's this little vegetable. They grow in pods, usually like 3 to 4 in a pod. They're kind of dog shit. They're not the best vegetable. They're okay if you fucking steam them, but other than that, fucking avoid them.
Moros nods. He has no expression other than the nod. Just very blank-faced.
What are you telling the boy?
How the disappointment of peas and how utterly garbage they are.
How dare you? You've never had pea soup?
I know, I very much have. It's just not good.
It's good soup.
Good soup.
It really is. It really is. The best soup.
Moros just kind of whispered that in the background while y'all were talking. You just hear him.
Maybe it's because I come from a coastal city, so I'm used to having, you know, food with flavor in it.
What, like fish?
I mean, yes, seafood of all kinds. We have our, you know, more gamey meats like your boars, your deer, cattle, of course. But it's more so than that. It's more so the exotic spices that would come in and out with some of the traders in the village. No, we weren't a big village, of course. Only about 200 people, but you know, back then that was enough for merchants to stop by, and it was a good place to stop for large ships to resupply and go on their way.
Hmm. Well,
yeah,
I like peas.
Hey, more for you. If I find any peas on the way, I'll send them to you.
Good. As long as you know.
All right. Are y'all going to wait a couple hours? It's only going to take maybe about 3 or 4 hours for him to finish this, because he's modifying something he's already made, so...
I'm gonna look at the sword that is Moros is always on his back. He never uses, and you looking to get that maintained? We can probably do that while we're here. It looks a little weathered.
Moros looks at him, and he just kind of glances over his shoulder. It is broken.
I mean, I don't know what it's made of, but this would be as good a time as any to ask to see if we could do something about it.
I would have to acquire the right materials in order to fix it in the first place. I do not know if this man is capable of such a thing.
Capable of what?
Have you worked with wyvern bones before? Or something of the like?
As a matter of fact, I have. Odd request.
Yes.
Why the wyvern bones?
Moros looks at Chorus, and it's almost like a scowl. Like, why did you say something? Why? And he's going to very slowly reach over his shoulder and pull out a wrapped sword, a large great sword. The hilt is like a jet black color. It's weathered, but still very dark in its color. Not a lot of ornament to it, just very standard hilt to it for a great sword. And as he unfurls the sort of canvas wrapping to the blade, you see that the blade is segmented and broken apart, and it's basically nothing but a half of a great sword. More like a third.
Strokes his chin as he looks at it. Seems like before this thing shattered, it was a pretty nice blade. Could cut the scales of a dragon.
It did.
He smirks. Did it now? A dragon.
A long time ago, yes. It was not I who did it, but it is mine now.
He looks at you. He's kind of connecting some dots as you say that. Lose somebody close to you. You see some looks of empathy in his eyes as he looks at you.
It was my father's.
Kind of looks off in the distance for a moment, shakes his head. I know what that's like. I'm sorry you had to go through that. He looks at the sword for a moment. If you get some wyvern bones, I could get it fixed up for you. No problem. This one would be... I don't do this often, but it'd be on the house.
Moros looks at Chorus. What the hell does that mean?
It means it'd be for free.
Ah, yes. You see, he kind of nods in agreement. Oh, okay, yeah. How many wyverns are we talking here?
Many wyverns? Mm-hmm. You'd need to kill at least... I'd need two or three. Get away with two, but be better with three.
Are we talking whole wyverns here? I could do whole wyverns, I'm just asking.
If you say whole wyverns, he will bring them back one by one. I'm quite confident of that.
I will drag them across the Badlands.
The Badlands? Jesus.
I don't know if we necessarily need to go that far north. I'm sure we could find someone nearby.
I wouldn't go there anyways.
I don't want to.
Term of speech. If we were to go there, it would be certain doom. That I can assure you.
One time, and it was not nice.
But yes, if I find wyverns to kill, I will bring their corpses back, or what I could of them, and hopefully you can reforge this for me.
Absolutely.
That would be... You would be... doing me a great favor, and I would be in your debt.
He nods. It's no problem. Truly.
In the meantime, I do have one question. What do you have as far as... I don't know... I would say throwable weapons of some form.
I got a couple javelin, hand axes. What's kind of your shindig, my friend?
Well, I was looking for something that has the ability maybe to penetrate armor, or thick scales of some form if I will be wyvern hunting. But something that's, I would say, not quite as thin as a spear. Perhaps you have some javelins. Or not javelins, excuse me. Instead of javelins, I meant tridents.
Trident. I don't get trident orders often, but I might have some pre-made in the back. Let me go check real quick. Oh, and by the way, he... lifts up a big, giant, heaping breastplate. It is covered completely by a red cloth as he pushes it slightly over the counter. For you, as he looks over at you, Chorus.
Oh, thank you. And I'm going to walk over with a couple other things. Pants, a hood and mask. I'd also like these as well, as I'm currently not clothed from the bottom either. So I need... replacements everywhere at the moment.
I'll see what I can scrap up together. I got
Hold on. With what I have here, because I like kind of what I got right now. How much do you think for this? And I'm laying the pieces of, like, the leather pants I picked up, the hood and the mask.
Let's say 200 gold pieces. Is that something you can do?
That's fine. And I toss him another 20 platinum.
Nods.
Oh, one last. Do you work with leather?
Of course I work with leather.
holding the leather pants.
Let me help young Moros over here. Moros.
Just because he has them doesn't mean he works with them.
He pulls out a couple tridents onto the table. Three different sizes. It goes from small, medium to large. Now, each of these is about 5 gold pieces, but I got 3 on them right now. So, if you want them, 15 gold for all 3. Actually, I'll do 10 gold for all 3, and then 5 gold each if you're buying them individually.
I will take the large, just the one.
All right.
You have a change room.
And
you can just change. Here, come on behind the counter. Back. He opens the counter right here. Room to the left. No, you're fine. You're fine.
Thank you.
All right.
Do you have the ability to take any more orders on armor?
Are you looking for something custom or something that's already pre-made?
Well, I could place an order if that would be more applicable to the situation, and I could come back at a later date to pick it up.
Yeah, sure thing.
I'm in no rush for this.
Take about a week for me to make this, whatever you're trying to make, as long as it's super basic. The more you add to it, obviously, the more it's gonna, you know, cost time-wise, so just let me know what you kind of want.
Very well. I will come back with the order, actually. We're going on a travel soon. And whatever we find out there, besides wyverns, hopefully, if we find something else, hopefully I can bring it back and maybe have some armor made from it.
All right. Where are you headed? You said you're headed somewhere.
Where are we headed? Morris looks at the other two. I don't do a lot of the thinking. I do the killing part. Where are we going?
We're headed to the coastal regions in hopes to get a boat. We're headed to the closed off city of Eflar.
Eflar. That's ambitious to get there. But, you know, more power to you. Speaking of, 1 minute. I think I have something for you, as a matter of fact, as he slides a piece of paper over to you, Lloyd.
Oh?
It's sealed with the crest of Iron Company on it.
Alright.
As he nods and kind of knocks on the door where Chorus is, you done changing in there yet, or?
Give me 1 second. I'm putting the pants on right now. I had some last minute issues. So, doesn't show or translate quite as well on the token because of limitations with Hero Forge, but the battle kilt goes up about halfway up his midsection, covering where the abs would be on the breastplate, but I will blow it up so people can see it, get a better look at it. It's not going to be the highest res because, you know, I'm upscaling in this, and it's not going to be great. But this is what he looks like. Got a dual mask on now so that it double protects his face, so he doesn't always have to be in permanent illusion mode anymore, so. But yeah, that is his new look.
You see Moros kind of tilts his head back and kind of raises his eyebrows, and he's kind of stroking his chin. I think this is much more fitting for you.
Yeah. Well, once y'all are ready, I'm as good as ever to pick out what we need, or pick up on supplies, head on out.
Well, I would like to take up this armor here, and this coat. Oh, and throw in this sword. Quite fancy.
Oh. This is just a regular breastplate, right?
Alright, so you want a sword, some armor, and what else?
This trench coat.
Trench coat.
It might be yours, but I want it.
No, not mine. You can have it. 400 gold pieces a good fair price?
Sure, 400.
He nods. The exchange of goods commences. Anything else you guys want to buy before you depart the town of Ravenmoor to try to figure out a way to get you guys smuggled into, well, the cities of Eden and Niflar? All right. Well, as you all leave the Iron Hand Forge, you all make your way to the outskirts of town, and about 10 minutes into this walk, not too long, Moros, you're about to hit the tree line to where this, like, very small forest is beginning to start. And you hear coming from the west the sound of a loud horn. Calling off from the distance, you see now animals in this small forest. You see, like, rabbits running away from the western direction. And you can see that there are some deer and some elk kind of also running away from that direction, as if they're running away from something unnatural. Something that's frightened them.
Moros looks at the other two, at Coverus and at Lloyd, respectively. I'm assuming that neither of you fucking heard that.
Heard what?
It's time. Moros draws his sword, and...
What?
You hear him, you see him kind of tighten himself up, and he rolls his shoulders back, cracks his neck. The call of the Wild Hunt. It's time. And then Moros immediately just starts charging off towards the direction of the horn.
Person pulled out both his blades and held them out in front of him because he thought fucking Moros was going to try to murder him, but he's like, oh, okay, he's going that way. Good, we're good.
All right, as you're... Oh, go ahead.
I'm giving chase. I'm following.
Lloyd, are you following too?
Yeah. I mean...
He just fucking ran
I'm
off.
I'm confused. Why is he running?
He has delusions of hunting horns. I don't know. He claims to hear them every now and then. Just go with it.
Understood. Let us...
So we all have our mental issues, you know? He hears horns every now and then. I murder children.
My mind goes blank and I become something else. Retarded.
Oh. I thought you were going more along, you know, my mind going blank and becoming something else. I was like, do we need to have a talk about this, or...
No, that's why sometimes I say ludicrous things.
That's, you know what, that's fair. Good conversation we're having while running. Honestly, I'm surprised you're not out of breath yet.
I'm a mercenary. I run and talk for a living.
Fair enough. I don't have lungs, so this isn't an issue for me.
All right, it's becoming an issue for me now.
God damn it. As you all are running, Moros, you're taking the lead. You begin to see this, like, opening, and you see this fucking large, beautiful, glimmering lake. And as you're, like, getting closer and closer, you're starting to see that the forest surrounding you is completely damaged. You can see, like, multiple sets of footprints going into the lake, as if something large has descended down into there. And on the other side... Straight across to where these like kind of like prints lead to is a ruin, some sort of ruin on the other side of the lake. This lake is very large. I would say maybe about a half a mile, pretty much circle.
Okay.
God damn, boy, so, you move fast in that armor.
Moros looks back. Well, I kind of live in it. Have you ever seen me in anything else?
Now that you mention it, no, and I'm kind of getting concerned. When was the last time you've bathed?
More than 8.
Oh, God.
More than 8, that's all I know.
At least there's a lake right there.
Oh, I'm not going in the water yet. The tracks are over there. He points at the where the tracks are. We're going to follow those. Find where they go and kill it. But before we kill it, I want to investigate to make sure what the creature is. We should probably approach this in as quiet of a manner as possible. I know I'm walking around in plate mail here. So, that being said, as quiet as possible. As he walks towards the steps, you can hear, as soon as he's like starts to crouch down and be quiet, you hear cling, 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 every step he takes.
So you want to roll me a survival check or a stealth check with disadvantage?
I want to approach the tracks, and I want to survival check them, yes, to investigate what kind of creature it is and whatnot.
Okay.
And yes, I will roll a stealth check as I approach those tracks.
I'll fall behind, also stealthing.
That's an 8. And the next one is a nat 20. But an 8! Oh my god, is a nat 20! Doesn't matter!
24 for chorus.
So 8 for stealth, but for survival, 14.
Okay. Alright.
Also, if you meant to have us on another map...
No.
I can't see it.
This is theater of the mind.
Very well.
As you all kind of like try to keep it on the hush while Moros is investigating these tracks, Moros, with a 14, you're able to, with these footprints in particular, this is clearly some sort of huge creature. And clearly, it might like to go underwater for some reason. Now, you're trying to put the pieces together on what this could be. You look, and you can see that at the edge of these prints, there's some sort of talons or, like, maybe claws. You're unsure what they are. But this is some sort of beast. A beast you've not encountered before. You're unsure what it is, but this is not going to be a fun time. Something in your gut is telling you that.
As he points out the talons, I look at him. Did you fucking jinx us?
What do you mean?
I mean, I ain't no, you know, big animals, you know, big city animal expert, but don't wyverns have talons? Did you fucking curse us with a wyvern right now?
It could be a dragon.
That's worse! That's a lot worse.
Yes, if it is a dragon, it isn't necessarily a fight we can win. We don't necessarily have to win this fight. The call brings me here for some reason to deal with whatever is here. It doesn't always have to end in death. But in this case, I have a feeling it's going to one way or another.
I think back of all the times where the call has happened. Nope, yep, every time's ended in death. Alright.
That's more so because they're not necessarily talking creatures that I have to deal with.
That is fair. Oh. I'm gonna stay behind you, Mr. Tracker Man.
As Moros kind of ponders what it could be, in his mind, he's going to just very slowly, very meticulously look along the tree line, and wherever these tracks lead, he's going to follow the tracks but keep his head on a swivel, kind of looking around as not to get caught off guard by whatever this creature is.
Okay, so you know that the footsteps, Jesus Christ, these prints, they lead into this lake, right? It looks like they were headed towards the lake, and right on the other side, you can see some sort of ruined structure. It looks like it might have recently been decimated, as you can see some rocks falling in the distance.
I'm going to walk across the lake to the ruin. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to walk around the lake to the ruin, then.
Jesus Cristo!
As you all are trudging around this lake, I'm now going to change maps. Where is it? There it is. You all approach this stone structure where you can see that is beginning to crumble. The entryway leading up has a set of brick steps that angles sharply to the right, and you can see a destroyed archway that opens up into a ruined temple. Or ruin, rather.
Moros, where the hells have you taken us?
I do not know. Moros kind of looks around at the area. Whatever it was that was here is fucking big.
What the fuck is this?
I'm gonna look around. Is there any, So, as we know, this is a taloned, clawed creature. It has large footprints, obviously a very distinctive shape to them. Very draconic, dinosaur-looking in their print. So Moros is gonna look for some kind of scales that have been ripped off of the creature's body and the mayhem of it thrashing about this building. So he's gonna look for scales on the ground or perhaps in the rubble.
Yeah, and I want to check and see how old the ruins appear to be.
Okay, so roll me. Just roll me an investigation check, Chorus, and then Moros, roll me a survival check.
7.
Yeah, 11.
Chorus, it's a couple hundred years old, at least from what you can tell. It's definitely post-Falling Stars Calamity for sure. You can't put an exact number on how old this might be. Moros, you don't see any scales riding about, but you can see what appears to be some, like, flesh, almost. It's green in color, and its blood is like a deep, dark, crimson red. This is fresh.
Moros looks at it. Kind of analyzes it for a moment. Not scaled. Could this perhaps be part of the creature? Maybe it was battling us or slaying here. I do not know. There would be more left of it. This is probably the predator.
Looks like these runes are about a couple hundred years old. I'd like to give you a better, you know, a bit more on where it is, but I never was in this area that long ago. At least if I was, it wasn't me.
Well, whatever this is, or whatever this was a part of, this is fresh, which means it's still nearby. Moros is going to step away from the remnants of whatever that is, and he's going to go out the other side of the building, quiet, and begin to look around and see if he can see anything, any more signs of this creature on the other side.
As you walk through this building, you can see a giant in the middle of this main room. There's a giant, so instead of, you can see like a statue of a dragon on this map, and like a little platform it's on. That's not what's there. This is going to be a little more theater of the mind. There is a pool of a deep, dark red ichor floating in here, and emerging from the deep, dark ichor, you can see not one, not two, not three, not four, but five heads of a statue. And that all the heads are conjoined, and it appears to be holding up something. Some sort of horn.
And the gods is that?
Lloyd, how comfortable are you with the, you know, slinking around and stuff?
So doing what?
Slinking, you know, like sneaking, slinking. I'm sorry, it might be old dialect for you. You know, how sneaky do you think you are?
Give or take.
Give or take, alright, I'm pretty comfortable with, you know, staying out of sight. I can go kind of scout it out and get a better look.
Marshall's just gonna walk straight up to the fucking thing.
Well, there goes the marching band.
To the pool of Iker or the other side of the building?
No, straight up to the pool of Iker with the statue with the horn.
Okay.
Because something had to... Is it like a horn as in, like, you know, you would blow into... Not like a horn like trumpet. I'm talking about like a war horn, you know, you blast into.
Yeah, it looks just like one.
Moros is going to look at it for a second. Could this be the thing that was calling him, he thinks to himself.
Why is Moros talking to himself?
About 20 feet up.
And does it look like it's being held firmly by the statue, or is it like something that looks like it's removable? Or could be perhaps knocked down?
So it looks like it's just like, just keeping it perfectly in place. This statue. It looks like if you wanted to try to take it out easily, you could, but you have no indication if it could be trapped by any means, at least just from looking at it from the base.
Morris looks back at the other two. Well, what do you think?
I'm falling behind you, so... Well, I think there's something real fucking big here that we aren't seeing.
That is clear.
I look up. Is there a ceiling on this or no?
No, the ceiling's been completely decimated.
Okay, thank God. It's like, cool. You know, thank God there ain't no ceiling. I thought it was resting above us, you know, just hooked onto the roof of the place. That'd have been a nightmare. I probably would have, well, I can't sleep anyways, but if I could, I wouldn't have slept for probably days.
And right as you say this, you see, completely decimating the statue with five heads, causing the horn to fly to Moros's feet. You see emerging from this pool of ichor a five-headed creature.
You son of a cunt.
As it looks over at its next fucking snack, and we are going to roll initiative.
Oh.
What is that?
Moros is literally like right here. Right in the fucking
thing. Yeah, I was right behind him, so.
Alright, Lloyd, it is your turn. You see this five-headed, almost like... kind of slimy. It's not like reptilian, because this is a custom Hydra, so I'm going to be transparent with you guys. It is a Hydra. It has, like, no scales, just straight fucking flesh. Long, pointy tongue, sharp teeth, yellow eyes, staring down at Moros Omenborn. Lloyd, you're up first. What do you want to do?
Well... the only thing I... Have we rested at all?
Yes, you would technically have a long rest, yes.
Jesus Christ, okay.
He was gonna cry.
Yes. Yeah, we had long rested after that last session.
Okay.
Because we'd said the next morning we were gonna go to the armor.
Well... oh, am I starting all the way back here, or am I up here with them?
You're wherever you want to start, brother. You just can't, like, obviously go past the pool.
Okay, I was back here, just looking. Let us see. Okay. Lloyd is going to move forward, but yay. And I am going to throw my dagger.
Alright, as you flick your dagger over at this five-headed beast, let's see if your attack hits.
Alright. What is this? Okay. No. Where is it? Does a 21 hit?
21 does hit. Roll me the damage.
I'm going to use my psionic strike in the process.
Okay.
So, pull out my dagger and I immediately throw it at the Hydra, hoping to ruin its day.
All right, as you toss the dagger and it pierces the... You can notice that the middle head has a chunk of flesh missing from its neck as you hit the chunk of flesh itself as it thrashes out as you do this. Is there anything else you can do? I think you have a bonus action. Not sure if you have another attack.
We did just hit level 5, so if you are a fighter...
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
I am a fighter.
You are, and you're level 4 on your sheet.
Yeah. I did not see that.
So, will thus do another attack, my friend?
Hold on, I'm loading back in real quick.
Absolutely. Wootly wootly.
And yes, I will. I will use my... I already used it. I should have just thrown it. I then used that. Screw it. I'm going to get in close. Can I get into this pool of water?
Yes, you could swim in the pool of water, but you're obviously going to be difficult terrain the more you move in it. So.
Oh, shit. So I can't even hit this thing anymore. Fuck it. I'll throw my sword since I have another one. I just bought a new one. I'll throw my old sword. Well, might as well. Fuck.
As you swing your long sword, you can see that the head swiftly moves out of the way. Is there anything else you're going to do on your turn, Lloyd?
No, that'll be it.
All right. So, you can see each of the heads is beginning to thrash out as it's going to move a little closer to you guys as two of the heads are going to try to attack Lloyd and the other three are going to try to attack Moros Omenborn. So, the first one is for Lloyd. It rolled a 20.
No, doesn't hit.
You're going to take 8 points of damage. Of piercing damage. Then a 25 hits. You're going to take 14 plus 8. 22 total points of piercing damage. Moros. 3 heads are going to bite you as the first one bites at you. It misses. The second one lunges out at you. A 20 hits. You take 14 points of piercing damage. The third head hits with a 26, and you're going to take 7 points of piercing damage. So a total of 21 points. That is the Hydra's turn. It is now the turn of Moros Omenborn.
Oh, I'm going to say that Moros ends up getting like knocked around a little bit. Where would you like him to get launched to?
As one of the heads practically grabs you, thrashes you around back and forth, you get thrown against this wall over here.
God.
Moros kind of hits the wall and slides down, hits the ground, and he takes a moment to try to raise himself to his feet, grabbing his great sword alongside him, raises it up. He's going to point at the creature, and he's going to focus his mental energies, his anger, whatever he's feeling in this moment, and he's going to attempt to run up and divine smite the hydra-like creature that he sees before him. So Moros runs up and just brings the greatsword straight up and straight down in an arcing fashion. I'm gonna go ahead and attack. Let me do my divine smite. Where's my divine smite?
Does your divine smite damage go up at level 5? I don't remember.
Oh, we're level 5?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I said we leveled up after the temple. Yeah.
I'll handle that after this one. I'll say I'm level 4 right now. I'm going to just full send it. We're already here.
Yep.
All right. Where is it? There we go. Okay, yeah. I have to hit and then I roll that. Sorry.
Yeah. Morris didn't get the experience for slaughtering the children or eating the baby's corpse, so that's why he didn't level up.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
24.
24 definitely hits. Roll me some damage.
Okay. Oh, and as he's cleaving, he's trying to bring it down on one of the hydra kind of necks. Sorry, he's like running up and bringing the sword down upon it. 24, and this is going to be the standard damage, and then I'm going to roll the divine smite damage. So here's the standard.
Absolutely.
12. Nice. I'll take that.
All right.
And then features and traits, divine smite damage. Where is it? Divine smite. Okay. 7 radiant damage from the divine smite.
Ooh, nice.
He cleaves it down upon one of the hydra's necks.
As you slice into the hydra's neck, at first it's a deep cut. It looks like the head's about to come off, but it's like kind of halfway there. And then you see a burst of radiant energy that pops this thing's head clean off.
So, question.
Yes.
Because this is, okay. This, what I'm asking now is Dalton asking. With knowledge I have, would the head dying count as a creature dying? Because it specifically says in it that at 25 points, one of the heads dies.
Hmm. Well, technically, so let's think about this here. Let me see.
Because the reason I ask is because I have Hellfire, I have that Whispers of Hellfire, which specifically says when a creature... you imbue a creature with hellish energy at the moment it dies. Now, the wording of a creature, it kind of throws this off for me on whether I would think I'd be able to use this or not.
So, I doing a little research, right? So, it says that technically the Hydra is classified as one creature with multiple living heads.
Gotcha.
So, we're just going to stick with that, if that's okay.
All right, that's fine. No, that's perfectly okay. That's why I wanted to double check. So.
All right, Moros, is there anything else you can do on your turn?
Other than after he brings the sword down and he sees more heads come out of the gaping hole that was there, his eyes get real wide.
Not yet. Well,
sorry, heads don't come out yet. Already.
The D&D nerds know what's coming, but they don't.
Edit it out, Zach. Edit it out.
Yeah, the heads don't come out until it's the end of its neck or start of its next turn. Or no, end of its next turn.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yep.
Well, then he brings the sword down, watches the disconnected head starts kind of writhing on the ground as it is severed from its, you know, host form or main form. Moros kind of brings the sword back up into a ready position, and he looks over at the others and he says, "Go for the necks!" And then moves on to the next one.
All right.
Specifically humanoid.
Mm-hmm. All right. I do believe it is Mr. Co. Russ.
All right. I am going to, with my main action, I'm going to take my left hand, I'm going to slam it on the ground, and you're going to watch as the kind of pool underneath it begins to, like, ripple as bone hands shoot up from the ground with black skeletal bone hands with like a deep red tinge to them, and it's going to grab the body of the Hydra and try to grapple it. I'm using idyllic chains.
Nice.
Or idyllic chains. So it needs to make either a athletics or acrobatic skill check, your choice, versus my spell save DC to escape.
Oh,
spell save DC is 16.
That is a failure.
So it is now grappled. It can make another skill check at the start of each of its turns to break the grapple.
Okay.
That is my action. With my bonus action, I am going to throw my hand axe.
All right.
So because of Thrown Weapon Master, I can do that as a bonus action. That is, that's going to be a miss. That's a 14.
Yeah, unfortunately, it just goes flying right by.
And it boomerangs back.
Yep, that's exactly what I was about to say.
Also, Thrown Weapon Master. Very nice. All right.
Alrighty.
That is my turn.
Lloyd, it is your turn. You just saw Moros cleave off one of the heads, and Po-Russ has chained, essentially, this Hydra down. What do you do?
Well, I'm going to go and move over here to attack it once again. I pull out my new blade. And it's time to test it. Why are you looking at my sheet?
I can always look at your sheet.
Why are you looking at it?
It's our sheet, baby.
Okay.
This isn't
our sheet.
Alright. Because it's only grappled, it's not restrained, it just can't move is all it all is, so no advantages against her or anything like that.
Damn. Alright. Yeah. Well, I'll make my attack. And I'll miss my attack.
Yes, you will, unfortunately.
I'll make my second attack.
The first head swiftly moves out of the way, but guess what? You predicted this shit would happen. You swing it in the opposite direction and hit the head that just evaded. Roll me your damage.
I'm going for nuke damage here. I'm pulling everything.
As you should.
Oh, that's the wrong. It's dagger.
Yeah, that was the wrong one. I was about to say.
I'm handing my
8 points. Okay.
I slash down at its neck, at its head, whatever is in the way. I use my psionic power to propel the damage.
6 damage.
As well as my giant's power as well to deal damage. It is 1d10. The other one is 1d6 lightning.
Nice. As what's the other type of damage? It's just slashing damage.
This one's fire. This one's lightning, and he must succeed on a Constitution save check, or he has disadvantage on his attack rolls until the start of my next turn. 14.
16.
All right.
So as you see this flurry of lightning and fire beginning to engulf one of the heads, it just turns to nothing. It's pretty much a charred fucking mess from all the damage that Lloyd has just done to it. Two of its heads are now gone. Well.
All right. I'm going to action surge.
Oh, fuck me in my ass. Go ahead and action surge, brother.
Level 5 fighter. 4 attacks.
And now our longsword once more. And I'll miss.
You do miss. As the head swiftly, just like before, evades. But just like this one, this thing seems very pattern-driven as you do the same thing again. You slash at it and hit on the second try. 8 points of
damage.
As you put a big gash into its neck and red blood begins to squirt all over the temple floor. All right. Is that your turn, my brother?
That is my turn.
Wonderful. All right. So, The Hydra has to make a strength check, right, at the start of its turn?
Either strength or dexterity, your choice.
All right. As you see,
be a 16.
With the three remaining heads that
are
left.
Athletics. It's got to make a athletics or acrobatics specifically.
Okay. Gotcha. So you're going to see it begin to try to resist the idolic chains that you have cast upon it, the skeletal appendages holding it down, and it's trying to break free. And what you see is it, boom, breaks free with a 21. As the three heads are free, it is going to take, 3 and Moros, so it's going to be 2 to Lloyd, 1 to Moros. So, first things first, a 15 on Lloyd just hits. Do you have anything that can help you out here, Lloyd, before I roll the damage?
Nope.
You're going to take 9 points of piercing damage. For the second head that comes to bite you, he rolls a 25. And rolls 7 points of piercing damage. And then the last head slithers its way over to you, Moros, and is going to try to bite you. It rolled a 12, and that misses. As you see it coming and step back to evade. And right as you're ready and poised to make your attack, you see 6 heads emerging from the Hydra. So there's 9 total heads on this Hydra right now. And that is its turn.
Well, I was gonna say, holy crap.
Yep, you got 9 heads.
Moros, what do you do?
Oh, it's my turn. Great. Mm-hmm. Moros, his head goes from like the body of the creature, and he looks up real slow, and his eyes get wider as he sees the 9 heads kind of rear back and coil around. And almost his jaw drops. His mouth starts to be in awe of the moment, and he finally kind of gets his bearings, gets his grips on the situation, and he's trying to think of a plan of what to do, and he can't quite think of one right now in this moment. He's starting to calculate what to do. He just charges right back at the creature and charges into the body of the creature, once again trying to slash into it. This time he's just going to do like a running in, penetrating strike, and he's going to try to like rip the sword out at an upward angle to pull more blood and guts everywhere. He's developing a plan, but he's not quite ready yet.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and attack.
Ooh, yeah, baby, that works.
That's a... Oh, max damage roll.
Almost.
Is it max damage? No. Almost.
You got 1 max damage in there. 1 max damage and a half max damage.
13.
All right. You successfully, in one go, chop off 2 of the heads with this one strike. As 2 of them go flying.
As that happens, Moros looks at his sword. Not quite what I had planned there. And he steps back for a second. He's getting ready for step 1 of his plan. He's just going to brace himself and put himself right in front of the creature. And he's going to say, "Get you ugly son of a bitch."
All right. Is that your turn?
And then he's going to use... yeah, that's his turn. Yeah, that's his turn. Yeah. He's just going to wait for what's to come.
All right.
He's goading it in. He you notice that Moros, I'm going to say just for 1 second, sorry. He kind of just spreads his arms open up towards the Hydra. Like, come get it. Like, take me. I want to be your snack.
Okay. All right.
All right.
Korus.
Well, Chorus is seeing him break free and then seeing 6 heads shoot out. Well, fuck. And I'm gonna Hexblaze Curse it. and we're just gonna start throwing axes. First attack, that's gonna be a miss. Second attack, that's gonna be a hit with a 21.
Yep.
And then third attack, that's a natural one. Awesome. Real great rolls tonight. So one hit.
Yep, one hits.
All right, so at least it was max damage, plus two, so 14 plus another two, or is it three at this point? Hold on. Three at this point, so 14, 17 points of damage.
Okay.
And that is my entire turn.
Take your hand axes, you throw them, they go flying across the air. Lloyd, they go flying right over your head into the neck of the Hydra. What do you do?
Well, I attack. What more can I do?
Kill.
Murder. Kill. I will go for an attack. And I will miss. Maybe.
No, that hits, brother. That just hits.
Thank the gods. Thank you.
9 points of damage. All right.
Nine. I'll psionic strike that one.
As this one head pops like a balloon.
More heads. Bring me more heads.
I forgot it's bonus action to do that.
All right. I think you have one more attack.
Yes, I do.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
Well, you, that hits, brother.
Ooh, max damage.
Ooh, did you take off another head, too?
13.
No, so you only took off the one head. This other, the other heads are still intact. As you do a... Ooh, fire. Oh, okay. Some extra damage.
Nine.
Yeah, this head burns ablaze, brother. It burns ablaze. So that's... All right. It is now the Hydra's turn. And let's see here. How many heads does it have left? I think it has six. Yeah. No. It has... I'm sorry, my math is terrible, boys. It's five. It has five heads again.
That math ain't mathin'.
All five are going to attack Morosoman.
Oh. 22.
24. 26. 8. 10. So, three of them hit. I'm going to tell you how much damage... Oh, my goodness. I'm going to tell you how much damage you take in just a second. Okay. You guys just see Moros get gulped up by one of the heads. That's all you see.
Fuck.
And you just... Doesn't even... No chewing, no chomping. You see... Just... Throws him up in the air. Closes his mouth. And swallows and looks at each of you as it grows... Three more heads.
Well.
And it's his turn. It is now Moros' turn.
Moros, I don't believe that was supposed to happen.
Moros, you're traveling down the esophagus of this Hydra. And you are now at a... with, by the way, one HP, might I add.
He's got one turn to make it work.
You are not going to last long as you reach the stomach of this creature, and it's just tall enough for you to barely fit in it, and your feet are resting in its stomach vial. And to be honest, at the end of your turn, you're going to take some damage. So some poison damage, obviously. But, Moros, it is your turn.
Acid.
What do you want to do?
The acid damage.
Yes, I'm sorry.
As Lloyd and Chorus look up and Moros gets launched into the air by the creature, you don't see him screaming or panicking. No, you see him reaching up for his greatsword, and as he's coming down into the Hydra's mouth, He takes the greatsword and is just going to cleave it down as he's going down the esophagus, just trying to rip and tear as he goes down into the stomach. And once he reaches the bottom and realizes where he's at, he says, "Now's time for step two." And then he immediately takes the greatsword and he's going to stick it through the stomach of the creature and try to rip and tear a hole to step through out of the stomach of the creature, killing it, hopefully. But he's going to put everything he's got into this. Let me set myself up for this here. He's got Divine Smite for this. Since I'm inside the creature, would I have advantage?
For shits and giggles and rule of cool, fuck yeah.
Sixteen.
Yeah, that hits, brother.
Alright. 13 damage, and then let me do my Divine Smite. 5 Divine Smite damage on top of that, so 18. So Moros takes his, at this point when he starts rearing it back to strike it into the stomach of the creature, his greatsword begins to sort of glow with this radiant golden light. He shoves it into the creature's sort of stomach sternum area and starts sawing up and down, until the hole gets big enough where he can stick his hands through and kind of start clearing his way out of the stomach of the creature.
As you do, you come through the other side in a pool of crimson ichor as you all see the Hydra's heads go limp and begin to drown into the water. As you have now killed the Hydra.
Well, I gained 10 HP that I didn't need, so.
Oh, that damage, Zach, for being in the stomach guts of the Hydra. Just I was in it.
A D10 of acid damage, please. And no matter what you roll, you are unconscious after all this happens.
Yes.
And I want to pull you Moro on a one-on-one out after this.
And after he steps out of the stomach and the creature goes limp all around him, he just collapses in a pool of the creature's entrails around him.
Oof.
And that is what happens to Moros in that moment. Where do we go now?
Alright, one on one.
You know, 1v1.
Sentai Wap Bing Chitting? Sentai Wap Bing Chitting.
Moros, as you emerge from the other side of the Hydra and have killed it, seeing the other side, the adrenaline rush begins to wear off and you pass out. And as you pass out, you wake up immediately as you pass out, which is weird because you know you just passed out. You're in a beautiful, serene forest filled with many beautiful flowers. You see this beautiful clearing and you see this horned creature from the back. It has 4 legs, very large, beautiful, multi-pointed horns. It is not facing you at this time. What do you do?
Moros, as he gains consciousness and you hear him take a deep he looks around where he is. He thinks he's dead. Looks around for a moment and sees the creature being before him some ways away. Moro slowly sits up and looks at himself. Is he whole? Does he have his armor? Does he not have clothes? What's going on?
You are in plain common clothes.
Oh, okay. Moro looks at his clothes and looks at his hands. Am I dead? He asks.
There's no response from anything. You just see some sort of 4-legged creature, golden-colored kind of fur with giant antlers, multi-pointed, like I said, not even facing you. And as you say, are you dead? Am I dead? It turns to you, and you see the forest begin to turn into sand. And you see the landscape beginning to shapeshift into the Badlands, where you're from, and you see that this kind of deer-esque looking thing with its golden fur begins to turn into sand as well, but it then rejoins and turns into this giant red dragon figure. And you hear a voice beginning to echo through your mind. Your hunt is not finished, Moros, Omen born. You hear in a woman's voice, very angelic sounding, as you are snapped back to reality into this pool of blood where you have passed out into. But you have had
a vision. Am I still unconscious?
You are conscious again, with one HP.
Okay.
You guys see Moros wake up.
I whispered you, by the way. Don't say a thing.
Okay.
Alright, I'm currently in the middle of stabilizing Moros. Or trying to stabilize him.
Roll me a medicine.
It's my medicine roll. And that's an 8.
You didn't do it, but because you were like trying to help him and he just suddenly wakes up in front of you, you think, damn, I did it. I did a good job.
Damn, a good job. You know, for not having internal organs for the past 100 and something years, you know, is it 200? How old am I? It doesn't fucking matter. I'm still pretty good at this healing business.
Moros, as soon as he sort of gains consciousness, is just an immediate and he starts like heavy breathing as he like touches the ground around him to make sure where he is.
Oh. I'm sure those weren't the guts you were planning on being inside of today.
Fuck. What happened? And he looks around and sees the Hydra's dead. Heads all around him, the entrails he's currently covered in. Oh, thank the gods, it's over.
You created your own C-section, Moros.
What's a C-section?
It's an operation done during birth when there's particular complications. Where they cut open the belly.
They do the baby what? That way.
I mean, sometimes the baby's, you know, there's issues and it needs to be removed immediately or it's stuck. I think.
That is insane.
I mean, yeah, childbirth is kind of brutal. Fucking pushing a watermelon through a garden hose. It's ridiculous.
I saw something.
I mean, I'm sure you did. You were just inside the guts of a weird five-headed lizard thing.
No, I... When I went unconscious, I was taken somewhere. I do not know how to explain. I was... In a field, a forest, something. Somewhere else, it was not natural. It was beautiful, but it was not natural. And there was... Some kind of being there, and it... I think it spoke to me. It told me... that my hunt is not over. And it... It showed me something from my past, something that I thought I had left there. Something I vowed to avoid having to see ever again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it all. It will take me time to collect all the details of what I saw, but... We may have to go to the Badlands eventually.
This unnatural area, was it like dark and misty, or was it like a dark, misty forest?
No, it was a
a beautiful forest full of life.
Oh, thank God. All right, you didn't meet anyone from the Shadowfell. Thank God. That could have been bad.
Shadow who?
It's kind of like the lands between. It's where souls go on their way to the afterlife. I know, like, you know, it's the crossing area. It's like between our world and the next.
Huh.
Yeah, you learn some things being around a bunch of undeads. I myself am, never been, but...
Maybe you should. Well,
anyone else, and I would take that as a threat against my life.
I imagine you're undead. You would want to could see places.
Nope. No, it's not a good place. It's very bad.
Never mind then.
It's a very unpleasant place. You'll find out when we eventually, because I'm sure eventually we will go there, to the City of Undead, and you'll hear the stories.
Understood. Moros.
Moros looks up at him.
That was amazing. Slicing through the belly of that beast.
I'm gonna hand him the horn as well.
I don't know what came over me. It just... Slicing more heads off didn't make any more sense. I'm glad it worked out.
Moros looks at the horn as he hands it to him. Can you describe the horn to me? Does it look malevolent?
So, when you take a look at this horn, it's very light in its color. It has a small twist to it. Very large opening on the other end. Very narrow, obviously, for where you would put your mouth if you were to theoretically blow into it. But it's like a beautiful... It looks like someone has actually taken care of this, even though this is in a ruin, which is kind of weird. Doesn't make sense. But it's beautiful. It's serene. Unlike everything around you, it's quite different.
Moros nods as a thank you to Kovar. She just kind of nods at him. And he's going to take the horn and... just hold on to it as he gets himself to his feet.
And when he pulls you, when you get to your feet, he's gonna grab you by your antlers. Don't you ever fucking do shit like that again. Alright? He's gonna... I'll let you go, but give like a kind of gentle nudge as he does it.
Moros just... He doesn't say anything, he doesn't make any expression, he just... You can tell he's understanding what you're saying. You don't know if he agrees or if he's saying yes or no, but he just kind of, you can see an agreement upon him in a way that he hears you. I need to rest.
Now it's time for you a bath.
A bath, a rest. Yes, a bath actually would be most excellent. I smell like fucking piss.
That was from when he went unconscious. You evacuated your bowels.
Moros looks down at his groin area. He pats.
I can't tell beneath all the viscera.
Yeah. Well, let's get you cleaned up.
Yes, let's rest for the night. I can't go on anymore like this.
All right. As you all are making camp for the night, and this ruin. As you all are setting up camp, the thought lingers in the back of your mind. How are you guys going to get to the city of Eflar and Eden? Maybe this is something you guys should talk about. You guys can choose to talk about it now. We can talk about it later. Up to you guys.
I'm gonna spend while we're discussing this. I'm gonna with assisting Moros with skinning and collecting as much as we can from this Hydra as possible.
Yes,
Survival with advantage. Yes. Well, only one of you can roll, right. So...
He's gonna roll it. I bet survival.
Wunderbar.
So, So Lloyd, how where are we headed? You said something about one of the port cities, airship.
By boat, airship, we would definitely get caught.
I wonder what town. So, we could. We have a couple options. I mean, looking at the map for where we could go. One's a bit closer to where we want to get to, but it's probably going to be a bit more of a dangerous path. Well, no, we cleared it out. The Whisper Woods. The Whispers aren't there anymore. Could head up north towards Brightston.
Well, let's look at a map first.
I have the map. I'm holding the map right now.
Allow me to look at the map. Please.
It's in Lodrinth notes. can you give me a number amount? Because I have, I hand him the map. Because I have the bag of holding right now. All that stuff, Zach.
Where are we on the map right now?
You guys are by Ravenmoor, kind of a little to the left. Not very far to the left. You don't see the lake that you guys are at on the map. You see a bigger lake, but that's not the lake you guys are at. There's a smaller one, kind of like by where the rim of that forest is to the left of Ravenmoor.
Well,
yeah.
We will probably have to head to Brightstone.
Yeah. The player
most
might
likely
have a little
because
more pull, but it's closer.
The reason Brightstone is because there's a little area where they pretty much do all their business.
Oh, man.
All right.
The Brightstone it is, then, I guess. Is there any... Now, are we meeting the people from your little band of... Your little troop of,
I'll be right
of
back.
Mercenaries? Is that
no.
who we're going to be trying to get in contact? No, okay. So these are people we do not have any kind of pool with, then, I'm assuming.
These are people that I would probably have pool with.
All right.
You definitely...
Well, anything else we should know? Like, don't do this, don't do that, don't wear fucking white.
Well, I mean, we're not. Those specific people don't really.
Don't fall asleep right now.
Care, in a sense.
All
really,
right.
All you need is me and money.
And we have both of those.
Never take off any part of your clothing in front of anyone there.
I'm hoping you mean in the they'll steal something from you kind of way and not the they will take it as a sign of I'm open kind of way.
You're open, not a stealing, more of they would kill you.
I'm sorry, what? That seems just a tad bit extreme.
Well,
is this some kind of cultural thing, or?
In a way. Though with these, for Moros here with these wyvern bones, they would not wyvern, these hydra bones, forgive me. And his little dragon-esque little stuff that he likes and has, they would like him.
Are we meeting with kobolds?
No, we're meeting with people.
Thank God, goblins, I was...
Other races.
Did I hear a goblin in there?
Yes.
And these are goblins you don't murder.
They're different.
All right.
You see, Eflar, the original, which is known as Eden, and the reason why it was called so, was because it was built in the mountains during the era of dragons. The reason for its name of Eden is because it was a safe haven away from these dragons.
All right.
So there may have been some mixings of kobolds, goblins, dwarves, and the such.
Oh, God.
They aren't as abundant as the other races, of course, but they are there. But one thing they don't like is undead.
I mean, nobody likes undead.
And they don't like dragons either.
As long as they don't have any kind of priest or paladin or any undead checking devices, we'll be okay.
That would more than likely be in Eflar. I don't know if they've built it yet, or whoever knows. Who knows what the artificers are doing there?
Yeah, I don't have any way of hiding my presence.
Just wear your clothes.
Yeah, anyone who's like Moros can just kind of immediately sniff me out. Fine. I usually do my best to avoid holy types.
Well, the city is less so on religion and more so on the advancement of society. Mostly theirs.
Are we going to meet some of them metal people there? I've seen a couple of them.
Metal people?
Yeah. Like the living metal people.
Warforged?
Is that what they're called?
Maybe.
I don't know. I've never spoken with them. I've only seen them.
Yes, they're mostly created to be in servitude of Eflarians. Mostly those who are in... Oh, anyone with money.
All right. So, head to Brightstone, find your people, and... get smuggled in from there.
Yes. Our biggest problem would probably be Eden and Eflar don't exactly like each other.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Eden is like the slums or something?
Yep, the lower city.
So, okay. Is there anything else we should know about Eflar? Specifically, since that's what we're trying to get.
I grab my dagger from the pool of water, and I start to cut off all my hair.
This feels like a trauma response, alright? I don't know how to handle this. I'm not equipped for this.
Just wait. I show him the back of my head. There's a tattoo there of like a spider's web. If you see anyone with this tattoo anywhere on their body, well, they're part of the organization that runs Eden. These are the exact people we're going to be contacting in Brightstone.
All right.
And since I have the tattoo myself, I'll be able to get us in.
I'm going to take a. I'm gonna call out Echo. Echo.
Yes, and you hear the voice coming from underneath his cloak that's at his midriff.
Would I be able to find anything about Malik in Eflar?
Eflar. You might be able to. There is immense amount of knowledge over in Eflar. I wouldn't see why you wouldn't be able to. They've made significant advances over the years from the rumblings I've heard while I was just wandering in the Underdark. I've heard some things. Maybe you'll be able to find.
Alright. Oh, yes, I kept him hidden because we were in the thing, and I'm going to lower the battle skirt now. And you'll see, set into the armor at the stomach area, is where Echo is now encased.
Hello, friends.
Figured this was a bit easier than having to pull him in and out of the bag of holding all the time.
It is easier, and you know what? I wish I wasn't covered all the time. Maybe I could see how beautiful the world has become. I haven't really got to see it much. He sounds a little sad.
Stay in your hole.
I would, but it's... I can do it when we're not in the city. When we're in the city, I'll have to find a thinner material for you. But while we're outside of the city, it should be okay.
Well, all right then. So sounds like you guys are going.
Actually, no. I could do it with you in the city. Huh? I could. I always forget. I'm sorry. I have illusion magic. It's so natural for me to use that I forget I have it.
Wait to use your breath.
Yeah.
Oh wait, never mind.
Yes, it does not exist. All right, I get it.
I forgot. I'm not used to this.
Make fun of the undead. It's, you know. Well, yeah. So you'll be able to enjoy looking at the world. Yippee! And staying hidden. So. But yes, if you ever have any questions for Echo, go right ahead and ask. He can answer right away now.
All right, y'all. So that's where we're going to wrap up for tonight, as we have discovered a way we can now get to Eden and Eflar. You guys are going to head up north to the large city of Brightstone, where you were going to rendezvous with some former allies? Lloyd, and try to get way there. I just want to thank everyone for tuning in to this episode of the podcast. I really appreciate everyone who takes the time to listen to what we, have to do, and just love playing with you guys. I just want to let you guys know I'm excited for what is to come in this story, and I hope you guys are enjoying. Make sure you follow our social medias and check out our other campaign Thrones. Other than that, you all have a great night, and take it easy.
Yeah.